Good. Chapter 5?
5.
All right. In chapter 5, on page 46, I fish out a quote. It is important that the researcher develops a clear idea of his or her research question, but remains open to new and perhaps surprising results. I thought that was an interesting reflection of grounded theory, which we just talked about, because I got the impression from grounded theory that you don't start out really with a clear idea of what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting, because this chapter seems to suggest that you do need some sort of very clear idea before you start what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
It seems more quantitative to me than qualitative.
Mm-hmm.
But it does this chapter does emphasize how important the research question is. It repeats that. It affects how the research will be designed and how the data will be collected, how it will be interpreted, who will be studied, what will be studied, and also the level of generalization that's established from it.
So let's back up for a second.
Yeah.
We want to make sure it is clear that the research question, yes, it should be clearly defined and specific, but a question is only that. It's asking a question about a given phenomenon. And that's not this, and grounded theory is not prescribing, though, what that phenomenon is all about. It's just asking a question about it. So they are different. And then where grounded theory is saying, you can ask a question about phenomena, but then when you study it, things will emerge about it that you may not have had prior understanding of.
I guess you don't make assumptions or expectations
no.
going in. I see
so
the difference.
They're,
okay.
So they're different, right? But the whole point is that you've come up with a you know, an insight. Yeah. The more thought you put into the question that you want to ask of the phenomenon, the better place you'll be when you then go in to look for themes and concepts, right? Because otherwise, and so in a way, I see what you're saying. I mean, it could be stopping you from seeing other things in your data.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully,
I think isn't that a criticism of quantitative methods, though? Because if you go in with the hypothesis that A is causing B,
mm-hmm.
then you're kind of more inclined to interpret things to make it so that A looks like it's causing B. That's how I interpreted that statement.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go into a phenomena with an interview or something with the conception that, you know, this person is depressed,
mm-hmm.
for example, a clinical interview, then you're more likely looking for the depression.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go in thinking, I'm going to have an interview and find out about this person.
Okay, then it's about the kind of question you're asking. Qualitative questions are different, aren't they? A qualitative questioner would say, what's it feel like to be 16 and depressed. Okay. Not, if you're 16 and depressed, do you feel the same as if you're 20 and depressed or 50 and depressed? You know, which you would.
Well, I think as soon as you use the word depressed, though,
mm-hmm.
that shows what you're looking for.
That
I think it just limits you. Like if you're looking to find out information.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
I don't
so you'd want to start even broader than that. But then.
And the broader you get, the
but
less
then
less
what
the
would your phenomenon be? What's it like to be 16? Or
what's it like to be?
Or what's it like to be?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there has to be there has to be an area of inquiry, isn't there?
I guess you have to limit it a bit.
Yeah. I think that's all it's trying to do. But you're right. But not be so specific that it would set itself. It would be if your question is that specific, you're better off doing a quantitative study. Definitely,
mm-hmm.
don't waste your time, you know, exploring that something that specific. Because at the end of the day, you'll end up with so what research again, probably,
mm-hmm.
right? If it's that specific.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a more So you're right. You're attending to it because it's because you realize it's so important to have a question that is going to allow for discoveries to be made in the data, and not something that's so restrictive and narrow already.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It also suggested that research questions are established based on the researcher's personal background, and as well on current social and historical context events. That was interesting to me, because that made me think that, you know, when you're looking through journals, just browsing through them, you know, for a while there's this has spurred.
Yes.
And everybody writes about the same topic, and then there's nothing all of a sudden on that topic. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you're looking for.
But then it reinvents itself.
Yeah, a few years later it comes back.
As a new name, of course.
Yeah.
With a new context.
Just to confuse her. Yeah.
But for a few years, there's like nothing on it.
Yeah, I know.
And I thought of that. That makes sense because you pick your questions according to what's popular to a certain extent, right? Or what's in vogue or what you need to know about, I guess, to exist in your environment. So that was interesting to me. They talked about analytical and sensitizing concepts in this chapter. That was a bit, it was a little confusing to me. I got the impression the sensitizing concepts were the broad concepts that kind of everything else you need specifics to explain. Like, for example, they gave us a topic of trust as being a sensitizing concept, and you can explain what trust seems like or feels like to people or how people experience it. It's kind of like a broad concept that underlies the question. Am I on the right track?
Yeah,
that?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've never, other than Flip, I haven't seen them put this way before. So I think it's more important to get the name sensitizing is not important, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
That more the idea of the different types of questions you can get.
They talked about more of that too. They talked about frictional loss, which means kind of restricting yourself. I got the impression that sort of sensitizing means enlarging and frictional means. I kind of use, in my mind, I thought of the Boolean operator and or. So sensitizing likes the and the frictional loss is the or when you start with. Anyway, what else did I have here? Oh, and types of research questions. Some research questions describe states of how things become, and some research questions describe processes of how they continue being.
It would be useful once you have a research question, you know, or if you already have one, you know, to subject it to Flick's analysis, because I think he's got. Yeah, you know, he'll make you think a little bit more about what kind of question am I asking, and maybe am I phrasing it the best way possible.
Mm-hmm. So. He also talked about questions that confirm your existing assumption and those that generate new hypotheses. Mm-hmm. And that was a